myself most fortunate to take part in even a bush or creeper that would sometimes be touched by the lotus, by the dust of these gopis' lotus feet. Finally, Uddhava entreated Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherd men for permission to go back to Mathura. Nanda presented him with many gifts and prayed to Uddhava for the ability to always remember Krishna. Returning to Mathura, Uddhava offered Balram, Krishna, and King Ugrasena the gift sent by Nanda Maharaj and described to them everything he had experienced in Braja. So we'll do responsibly one and two. Sri Krishna Vacha. Tam Viksya Krishna Krishnan Ucharam Vraja Shriya. Pralam Babahum Navakanjalochanam. Pitambaram Pushkara Malinam Lasan. Mukharavindam Parimrishta Kundalam. Suvishmita Koyam Apivyad Harshana.
Suvishmita Koyam Apivyad Harshana.
Kutascha Kasya Chuta Vishabhushana. Iti sma sarva parivarur utsukas.
Iti sma sarva parivarur utsukas.
Tam uttama sloka padam bhujasrayam.
Tam uttama sloka padam bhujasrayam.
Sri sukha uvacha. Tam viksya krishna ucharam prajasriya. Pralam Babahum Navakanjalochanam. Pitambaram Pushkara Malinam Lasan.
Pitambaram Pushkara Malinam Lasan.
Mukharavindam Parimrishta Kundalam. So Vishmita Koyam Apivyadarsana.
Vishmita Koyam Apivyadarsana.
Kutascha Kasya Chuta Vishabhushana. Iti sma sarva parivarur utsukas. Tam uttama sloka padam bhujasrayam. Okay, we'll skip word for word and just do the translation. Sukadeva Goswami said, the young women of Vraja became astonished upon seeing Lord Krishna's servant. Who had long arms, whose eyes resembled a newly grown lotus. Who wore a yellow garment and a lotus garland, and whose lotus-like face glowed with brightly polished earrings. Who is this handsome man? The gopi asked. Where has he come from? And whom does he serve? He is wearing Krishna's clothes and ornaments. Saying this, the gopis eagerly crowded around Uddhava, whose shelter was the lotus feet of Lord Uttama Sloka Sri Krishna. Om Gyana Terminasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Sakshamantanyana Tasmaya Shri Guru Dina Amavam Vishnu Paraya Krishna Pishtaya Bhutle Shrimati Satchu Padaskar Samit Namine Satchu Pavidam Vandi Vindam Shari Vishnu Bhakni Krantan Naipane Bhakti Vendra Sikshita Amavam Vishnu Paraya Krishna Pishtaya Bhutle Shrimati Bhakti Vendra Samit Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pishwani Nivishu Jishwani Vali Pashu Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Jagannatha Das Shri Vasudeva Prabhu. Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karamayam Adapti Swaparantika. So we've touching on the topmost topic in the Srimad Bhagavatam. When Lord Chaitanya asked Ramananda Roy, what is the highest topic? He said that topic that discusses the pastimes of Radha and Krishna is considered the topmost topic. And so we're touching upon this part that discusses about Uddhava and the gopis, primarily. So, in a few classes back, I spoke about the recipients of Krishna's mercy, and I had stopped at the Yadavas. This is Parikshit was explaining to Uddhava, to Uttara, his mother, the cream of the Bhagavatam. And because he was about to leave the planet, but she said, you're going to leave me and you didn't tell me what you listened. And he had a very, very short time. So then he explained that Narad met some sages. Forgot the place now. But anyhow, he met some sages at one of the holy places, and He was finding out who is the best recipient of Krishna's mercy. So he met a Brahmana there. The Brahmana directed him to a king in South India. The king directed him to Indra. Indra directed him to Brahma. Brahma directed him to Shiva. Shiva directed him to Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj directed him to Hanuman. Hanuman directed him to the Pandavas. The Pandavas directed him to the Yadavas. And then I had stopped here. But now the Yadavas is directing Narad Muni to Uddhava. And Uddhava will direct Narad to the gopis. See? So I'll run through this chapter summary, and then I'll read a little bit about Uddhava and the gopis. And then we can also, in the midst of that, we can discuss this last thing. So Lord Krishna sent his emissary, or his messenger, Uddhava, to console the residents of Raja, and especially the gopis. Why Uddhava? Like Mother Sukada was giving class the other day, and she explained how Uddhava is so much qualified in so many ways. First of all, he resembled Krishna greatly. It's stated that Pradyumna, the son of Krishna, resembles Krishna tremendously. He is the closest person that resembles Krishna. But Uddhava's beauty surpasses Pradyumna's, see, in resemblance. So we can imagine. And Uddhava was supremely beautiful. It says he had eyes like young lotus, blooming lotus. Beautiful face and lovely features and so forth. You see? So this, when the residents saw this, they would immediately become reminded of Krishna. See? Immediately. If you can remember in the Mahabharata with Yudhishthira and Karna, Yudhishthira used to get very upset with Karna. Yudhishthira is very calm and cool-headed, but Karna was sometimes would upset them in many ways. And he would get upset with Karna. But as soon as he saw Karna's feet, his anger becomes pacified. Why? Because he was reminded of Kunti, their mother. See? As soon as he saw Karna's feet, he immediately became pacified. And he couldn't tell why. So the residents here, as soon as they see Uddhava, they're reminded of Krishna. And they become pacified. In fact, when the gopis saw Uddhava, in fact, for a moment, they would actually think this is Krishna. I mean, he has Krishna's yellow garment and his jewels and his features like, see? So they were immediately reminded of Krishna. And also, he was supremely intelligent, the disciple of Brihaspati, who is the tutor of the gods, see? So in this way, they were definitely reminded and pacified to some extent. To some extent, you know, because even Uddha would not eventually be able to pacify them so much. So the gopis took him in a corner and then they started to accost him or question him about Krishna and his whereabouts and what's taking place and so forth. And then, after that, one bee came to Srimati Radharani. If you notice, like in this whole Srimad Bhagavatam, the name of Sri Radha is not really mentioned. See? And of course, we know the reason, because Sukadev, he would have been unable to go on speaking Bhagavatam if he had mentioned the names of the gopi, especially Srimati Radharani. And the reason for that is because well, in some it's stated that actually he was the parrot of Srimati Radharani, the pet parrot. And, you know, of course, his love for the gopis and for the supreme and everything is of such a high state. But anyhow, the gopi that's been mentioned here is Srimati Radharani. So this bee was hovering around her. And she said, oh, so Krishna has sent his spy here. in the form of this bee. He sent him to come and see what's going on. But why are you coming here? You know, you should go back to your rascal master. You know, he's going with other women. When he was Ramachandra, he killed Bali, shot him behind the back. When Sharpakana approached him, instead of satisfying her, he cut off her nose. When Bali Maharaj gave him all the kingdom, he tied him up and sent him to Patala Loka. You know, so she was heavy. You could see she was really upset with Krishna. And so the bee left. And then the bee came back. And then she said, oh, I've blew it. You know, now Krishna would not have anything to do with me. But she can't stop loving Krishna. You ever hear that song, I can't stop. I can't stop loving you. You see, like that. She cannot stop love Krishna. So then she was studying, well, what would happen? And then the bee came back, and then she was speaking to the bee in a pacified tone. See, everything like that. And then amidst all of this, Uddhava would stay for a long time, and he would continue conversing with them and so forth. But then he started to become very surprised at the love that that these gopis had for Krishna. While ordinary person must have performed many pious deeds to qualify as servants of Lord Krishna, you simple cowherd girls are so extremely fortunate that the Lord has favored you with the highest degree of pure devotion. The gopis were in the state of Mahabhav, the topmost love of the Lord. But I'd like to just recall ordinary person. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Bahunam Janmamante Gyatva Mamprapada. After many, many births, one gets the chance to render some devotional service to the Lord. And one has to go through a process to even develop some love for the Lord. And so it's stated in the Madhurya Kadambini by Rupa Goswami that a regular person has to go through 8 steps before he could come to the stage of prema. And so he started with the state of Shraddha. Shraddha, or simple faith. One also has some faith. Then he associates with the sadhus, sadhu sangha. See? Then bhajana kriya. He starts to render some service, but not regular service. He renders a little service, or he comes around the temple, and then he goes back, comes back, renders a little service. But then, as he does that, it starts to move up to anartha nivritti. He starts to give up like unwanted habits. Like maybe if he was smoking or drinking, he starts to give up that. If he's listening to mundane music, he starts to give up that. So many unwanted habits, bad association. He starts to do that little by little. Then he jumps to the stage of nishtha, which is stated as steadiness. He becomes steady in his practice. Then ruchi. Ruchi, he's getting some taste. See? Then he moves to asakti, attachment to devotional service. And then prema, love. And then those stages would move on to sneha, where the heart melts with love, mana, does extreme sneha, then raga, anuraga, bhava, then mahabhava. So the gopis have reached the stage of mahabhava. See? And so this is the topmost state of love of God. See? Mahabhava. For us, I think it would be a great dream, but at least we can still aspire for something, even if we can touch a little prema, a little bit of prema, something, see? And so Uddhava stayed on there. So he was saying that these ordinary people have to go through all this process to get a little love for God. But look at these simple women. Here they're living in the woods of Raja. You know, these women are living in the woods, but they have the topmost love for God. And so Uddhava was so much taken back. He was astounded. See? He was really surprised, really taken back by that. And he said, "Indeed, I would consider myself most fortunate to take birth as a bush or a creeper that would sometimes be touched by the dust of these gopis' lotus feet." Just imagine how great awe and reverence Uddhava has for the gopis. And then he spent several months there, and then the residents gave him a lot of gifts to take back to Krishna, Balaram, King Uvasen, and so on. Then he left there. See? So it's a very beautiful, this would be a very beautiful chapter. But I just run through the summary, and this first verse is dealing with the beauty of Uddhava, you see, when they saw him. So I want to read a little more of that, because the Yadavas said that Uddhava is the recipient of Krishna's. Uddhava is the topmost recipient of Krishna's mercy. So I'll read a little bit here. They said, "While the Lord lies on his bed, Sri Uddhava attends to massaging his feet. And he holds both the feet of the Lord on his breast while he himself goes to sleep. Sometimes he goes along with the Lord to his inner chamber, where the Lord goes to meet his Cupid lady lover." And the case they gave was Kubja. When they went to Kubja, Uddhava went with him there. Again, at the court of Krishna, he acts as the prime minister to him. Sri Krishna discloses to him alone the sweetest and enchanting tidings, which he narrates from us only later for our spiritual welfare. We may not be able to fully narrate this good luck. Since his very boyhood, he has been engaged in the loving service of Krishna. Therefore, his close friendly dealing with Sri Krishna is sometimes misinterpreted by many as mere madness. Lo, how greatly he is intoxicated at the loving service of the lotus feet of the Lord. In this very birth, he has transcended the human qualities and possesses Sri Krishna's divine characteristics. His personal beauty even excels the beauty of Pradyumna, who is the very counterpart of Sri Krishna in beauty, and has become more beloved to Sri Krishna than Pradyumna, his own son. Sri Krishna presents to him his own used favorite articles, such as Vanamala, yellowish silk garments, Kastuba Mani, Makara-shaped earrings, and when he, Uddhava, comes out wearing them in his person, we are extremely delighted to see him in that dress, which resembles the cynosure, Sri Krishna himself. The great enchanter. Cynosure means the great enchanter, Krishna, see, himself. So, now I'm going to read more on that really, but so we can see the position of Uddhava. He's on the topmost platform. So when Narada went to Uddhava and says that you're the embodiment of Krishna's mercy, he closed his eyes and he said, no. You know what? Do you want to hear who's the embodiment? It is the gopis. Let me read a little bit. He said, "Dear Narad, recently I went to Vraja." So this is where in this chapter, Uddhava is going to Vraja. Here he says, "Dear Narad, recently I went to Vraja where I observed the unimaginable and unthinkable love of Vraja gopis, and it made my proud heart bow down onto the earth out of reverence to them. I could then know on what a high pedestal is reserved the gopis' seat in the pleasant wood lands of Krishna's enchantment, and what low level my own seat is reserved. I felt in my heart of hearts for whom Sri Krishna's sweetheart is reserved, and who are the dear ones par excellent to him, but how mysterious is the characteristic of his prema. I am fortunate indeed to realize the unfathomable sweet beatitude of Gopi's love. At the very sight of the Vrajavasis, I felt myself blessed, and I considered it was a real gift of my master, Sri Krishna, to send me here, and then only counting myself as one of the confidants of my master, I felt extremely delighted. I was so much overpowered with spiritual emotion at Raja that repeatedly I sang the glories of the gopis, and my tongue cannot adequately express the aspiration that rose in my heart, making me roam about in ecstasy, which is well known to everybody. So you could imagine the love that Uddhava felt for the gopis, see, when he got that association. So we can see the gopis are considered the topmost recipient. But I want to touch briefly, quickly, on something else, and that is, there's a little puzzle, there's a little transcendental puzzle, see, that the gopis, they were lamenting so much for Krishna. And many devotees said that that Krishna is also present in Vrindavan and so forth. But I like to read a little bit. It's stated here. One time I had mentioned that the gopis had to go through this because of a course that happened in the spiritual world. And I would quickly run through it really because time is running out. Once Srimati Radharani was serving Sri Hari in a solid place in Mahavan, this is in the spiritual world. Radharani was experiencing so much ecstasy serving Krishna that she lost external consciousness. While she was in this condition, Krishna left her and went to meet with another gopi named Viraja. See? Viraja was also very dear to Krishna. She is always at the age of 16, very youthful and decorated with many varieties of jewels. She was happy to have the Lord with her, and thus she engaged ecstatically in his service. In the meantime, Radha returned to her external senses. Not seeing Krishna anywhere, she came to know from her sakis that he had gone to Viraja. This made Radha very angry. She started to cry. Radha had 630 million gopis at her personal assistance, and they all wanted to go with her to Virajakund to see Viraja. See? Reaching there, Radha got down from the chariot and looked upon the Ratnavedi. There she saw a most beautiful gopa, whose face resembled a blooming lotus. He was surrounded by hundreds of gopas and was standing guard. He was very dear to Krishna. His name was Sridhar. Radha told Sridhar in a very angry mood, "O servant of the Dibachi, get out of my way. I would like to see your lord with another consort." See? Inside, Krishna heard all the noise taking place at the entrance. He realized that Radha had come in angry mood, and he disappeared immediately. When Virat saw this, she took the form of a river. See? When Radha entered the house, she did not see Hari. She found Virat taking the form of a river. She left and returned home. Lord Krishna reappeared, and he said, "Oh, my dear Virat, please come back. Without you, how can I live?" You see? So this is going on there really. Then, in the meantime, after pacifying Viraj, Krishna returned to Radha's house, accompanied by Sridhar. When Srimati Radha saw Krishna, out of anger, she started to speak very unpalatable words. "In this Goloka, you have ladies who are more dear to you than me. You please go to them." You see? And so there's more, but I beg Srimati Radharani, the Lord, please, all those that are listening and the one that's reciting, please, we don't commit any offense whatsoever. Continue. Sridhar was with Krishna, observing that was taking place. Due to his love for Krishna, he became angry at the way Srimati Radha behaved towards his friend. Sridhar's eyes became red with anger. And he said to Srimati Radha, "Oh, Sri Radhika, why are you abusing my friend and talking all these bitter words? See, and then he went on with a lot of things, really. He's saying that he's the Lord of Brahma, Shiva, and so forth. After hearing these most powerful words from Sridharma, Radha became very angry. Her lips trembling, her hair became loose. She became red like a lotus. She immediately rose and came out of the house. Approaching Sridharma, she said, "O foolish one, super foolish, servant of a debauchee, listen to me. You think you know everything and all truth. I do not know your Lord." He said, "I do not know your Lord?" She said, "O most fallen one in Vraja, is Krishna only your Lord? Is he not my Lord? I know you always praise the Divine Father and blaspheme the Mother, foolish one. As the demons always blame the demigods for their troubles, in the same way you are also blaming me. That is why I curse you now to become a demon. You leave Goloka and take birth in the demon species. This is my curse to you. Let us see who can protect you." See? Stated, Sridharma became very angry. His lips started to tremble in anger. He then cursed Srimati Radha in return, saying, "And I curse you to go and take part in the human species, because you have become angry like a human being. You should take part as a human being. There you will be defective in your partial expansion. On earth, foolish people will know you as the wife of Abhimanyu. Abhimanyu, who is a part of Hari, will take birth in Vrindavan. You will come in contact with Sri Krishna there in Vrindavan and enjoy with him in the different forests of Raja. Then you will be separated from Sri Hari for 100 years. See? And then it stated, later Sridharma went to Sri Hari and explained what had happened. And then the Lord said, "Now you go to earth planet. You will appear there as Sankachuda, the king of demons." And then Srimati Radharam went there also. At that time, Sri Radha in tears was coming to meet Krishna. She informed him of everything. By seeing Sri Radha in a distressed condition due to separation, the Lord began to pacify her. See? Sridharam spent the specified period in the form of Sankachuda. And Sri Radha, the daughter of King Vrishabhanu, appeared on earth along with Sri Krishna to eventually become the wife of Abhimanyu. See? And then, at the age of 25, Krishna left Mathura and went to Dwarka. Thus he was separated from Radharani for 100 years by the curse of Sridharma. From time to time they would meet at Kurukshetra or in Vrindavan. One time they met at a place called Siddhashram. See? And then they would meet at Siddhashram. I mean, there's so much more, but it'd be difficult to think. But then they will meet there, and then Radha says, when he met with Krishna, "Oh my Lord, seeing your moon-like face," this is after meeting 100 years, "most attractive eyes and blissful body, today my life has become perfect and successful. I was born in the fire of separation from you and drowning in the ocean of lamentation." See? And then they would eventually leave to go back to Goloka Vrindavan. Then by the order of Krishna, the most beloved Srimati Radha, Radhika, along with her mother Kirtidya, and all the gopis mounted the chariot and returned to Goloka Dham without changing bodies. I mean, it's a long story, but I had to make it short because it's, you know, it's stinging. But this also gives us a clue that this had to happen. And not only that, but another interesting thing is that they did not leave Vraja. They could have left Vraja. But it stated also, and this is important for all the speakers of Bhagavatam, I like to read this part here really. And all the devotees should read this book. It's called The Glories of Sri and Pastimes of Srimati Radharani. Everybody should try to read this book. Beautiful, wonderful. See, it's stated that Krishna in the spiritual world, he expands in Goloka Dham, in Mathura, and in Dwarka. But when he's in the material world, he would only be at Vrindavan one time. When he's at Vrindavan, he would not be in Mathura or Dwarka. And when he's Mathura, he would not be in Dwarka and the other place, and so forth. He would only stay in one place. And so this answers the question why we see so many lamentations. This is very essential. If you read this part, but there's not much time really, so I would really nothing. But that explains why the gopis were under the residence of Raja were in so much lamentation. And it also said they could have gone to Mathura. Mathura is very, very close to Vrindavan. But it stated that this mood is not found in Mathura, the mood of the gopis, you see? I mean, it's not found, that this special mood of that the residents have for Krishna there is not found in Mathura nor in Dwarka. But I mean, you guys can read it back. I mean, this is so wonderful. Maybe I should have skipped some other things and read this, but this is really nectar, you know? And I beg you to read it, really. So this answered the question why they were so almost lamenting, really, because Krishna was not really externally present. And so I'll stop here if there's any quick comment or correction. All right? Okay, one quick comment or correction.
I didn't quite understand what you said. So you said that Krishna is only in one place.
When he's in the material world, if he's in Vrindavan, then he would not simultaneously be present in Mathura and Dwarka. See? But in the spiritual world, he would simultaneously be present in Mathura, in Dwarka, in Vrindavan, and in acting past tense eternally. But when he came to the material world, you know, even though we know that the Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dwarka, they're the holy dams here, it's stated here in this book. And then maybe if you have some heavier questions, you can even contact the author, who is Purushottam Swami, you know, and because he got his sources, he did a lot of research. I mean, it's important you read this book. If you read this book, you really get Radha Tattva in here, really. It's so beautiful. You'd be amazed. Beautiful stories.
My confusion is that when Krishna descends, he descends with his spiritual world. So Vrindavan and Mathura and Dwarka, these are spiritual, even though they are present in the material world.
Yeah.
And we hear again and again that Krishna, when he leaves Vrindavan, that's Vasudeva Krishna, an expansion that leaves, and Krishna actually stays in Vrindavan. But then what you're saying seems to externally anyway contradict that.
Certainly.
So maybe you can explain that.
Certainly. And this is what I read from this book. It's on page 71. Why the Vrajvasis stayed in Vraja. It's stated here, in the spiritual realm, Krishna's presence simultaneously in Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dwarka, enacting his pastimes eternally. But in the material world, only one form of Krishna is visible, which means that when he's in Mathura, he can only be seen in Mathura, not in Vrindavan or Dwarka. This is the difference between Krishna's Prakata Leela in the material world and his Aprakata Leela in the spiritual world. But we can read a little more. Yes, Prabhu?
Who translated that book and where it came from?
Well, this is written by Bhakti Purushottam Swami. You see, and he said he did a lot of research from different places, you know. Yeah, yeah. And he says if, you know, you have questions.
You have to reconcile, because Prabhupada stressed also that point.
Vrindavanam parityajya padamekam na gacchati. Prabhupada quoted this even in his lecture, that Krishna never put one step outside Vrindavan. Mm-hmm. So we have to give Prabhupada's opinion first and see through his. So Jiva Goswami Pad reconciled this. As Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj is not giving reference, Jiva Goswami Pad gives that there is a many prakosta. Mm-hmm. One prakosta Uddhava saw in the beginning of 46th chapter, that there is a one prakosta where Krishna is presence. And when he entered into Vrindavan, he saw Krishna's presence and everything was wonderful. At the end also of this chapter, after he spoke that famous verse, Bande Nanda Brajasthinam, I think 61 of this chapter, Pada Renu Vishnajat, Jasham Hari Katod Gitam Punati Bhuvanatrayam, very famous, Prabhupada quote that too, that Uddhava saw both sides, that Krishna in separation and gopis in separation from him, this is a one planet. And simultaneously there is another planet within Vrindavan, that their union is undisturbed. Never Krishna leaves.
Very good. Very
so
good.
Both that, are existing simultaneously.
But that's like a spiritual realm.
No.
But physically you can see. You can't see that physically. That's.
Yes, you can.
You can see it spiritually.
Yes.
Physically.
Yes. In many aspects, like Prabhupada says in a morning walk in Vrindavan, he said when Krishna left with Srimati Radharani, nobody knew, and then in their Rasa Leela, where the Lord Ram came and worshipped. Where you find such reference? Well, both exist simultaneously.
That's interesting. And, you know,
no, this is Jiva Goswami Pads. I show you where Jiva Goswami Pads says.
Yeah.
The reference. Prabhupada stresses this, that Krishna never leaves one step outside Vrindavan.
Yeah.
So we have to give that also.
Well, Nagaraj Prabhu was giving class, but he said in that way, but he stays in his in the spiritual form, not, you know. Nagaraj was giving class like that.
There is a reference also of Akrura, many references. One place is where Akrura came with Krishna Balaram, and he stepped down from the chariot, then he went to chant his Gayatri. And underneath the water, he saw Krishna. First, there's a three vision, according to Krishna book of Prabhupada. First vision, he saw this beautiful opulence of Bhagavan lying down on a snake bed, and all these Shaktis serving Nanda Sunanda, not Nanda Maharaj of Vrindavan. This is another Nanda Sunanda of Vaikuntha. He saw, then there is another realm he saw. Then the third one, he saw Krishna Balaram. Then he doubted whether this same Krishna Balaram on the Vrindavan side, chariot, and Krishna Balaram on the Mathura side. So that Krishna Balaram with the Mathura side went with Akrura. This Krishna Balaram never went. So that's also Dasami Tippani. Prabhupada says, if anybody wants to know more details in Adilila chapter 5, Prabhupada clearly says, anybody wants to know more details in depth, must read Dasami Tippani. That's how he says. In Dasami Tippani, it clearly says like this, that there is a Krishna never left. At the same time, there's another chamber where Krishna left, the separation feeling has to be experienced.
Alright, well that's interesting, and you know, we'd have to research a little more. Yeah, Dhamraj. If anybody wants to leave, really, you know, because I know time. Yeah, you know.
Okay. Yeah, I'll make this very short. It's a similar point that Pramkavendra Prabhu was mentioning, that even on this previous chapter, the commentaries by Srila Jiva Goswami and Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, they also explained that Krishna never left Vrindavan. Even when he left to come to Mathura, he left his, there's a subtle form that is still there that would always associate with the gopis and the Brajabasis. And even when he came, even when he went to Mathura, and Nanda Maharaj was coming back to Vrindavan, he says Krishna also went there again in that subtle form. That, so they always had Krishna with them. And so I think if you reread that quote you made there, you would see that difference of understanding of the material and the spiritual world, that yes, Krishna never leave. Even in the material world, Krishna never left Vrindavan, because his heart is always there. He was always there with the gopis, but sometimes not physically manifest.
Very interesting also. The only reason I have so much faith in Maharaj, because I think he must have done a lot of research and spoke with a lot of devotees and gave a lot of thought before he did this, really. Because my question is also, well, if he never, why there was so much lamentation? So much lamentation. There wouldn't have been so much lamentation, you know. But it means that maybe he, in a different realm, he's there, acting out in a different way. I mean, that's my take on it, because otherwise they would, there can't be all that lamentation if he's there. I mean, you know.
Look at 1038, Prabhupada Vishinam. Prabhupada in the Parvat says this. It appears like Krishna never left. So all the Krishna out, according to Prabhupada, in Bhagavad Gita, 1030, Prabhupada says this. All the expansion outside Vrindavan is Vasudev. Prabhupada says in Bhagavad Gita. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.